Okay, just to review another bit. Here the Mishnah talks about the four Rosh Hashanahs. One of the Rosh Hashanahs is Chodesh Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah, as the Mishnah says, L'regalim. The Gemara in Daf Dalet says, what does that mean? What's the significance of being Rosh Hashanah L'regalim? It says it's Rosh Hashanah L'regalim for a purpose that requires a cycle of regalim. What purpose requires a cycle of regalim? The Gemara identifies the Iser of Bal Te'acher. Pasuk says, Lo Se'acher L'shalmo. You take a pledge, a nether, or some other kind of an obligation without assigning a time frame to it, then the pasuk says that you can't delay. You're not allowed to delay, and you have to honor your pledge, or you have to discharge your obligation before it's too late. What's too late? The Gemara says, and we'll see a little bit of this on our daf also, but we've seen a lot of this before. Lo se'acher is defined as being a year, according to most Tanoim. And the year has to be identified, has to be delimited. So we're seeing here in the Gemara that that's what the intent of that Mishnah was, that Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, is that the Rosh Chodesh Nisan identifies Pesach as being the first regel of the cycle, and therefore the cycle is Pesach and then Shavuos and then Sukkot, and that's only relevant if you actually think that the year has to happen in that order. So there are some Tanaim that insist that it be Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot in that order. Other Tanaim have other opinions about Bal Te'acher, and you did all of that last week or the week before last week. Now, in the course of the discussion of Bal Te'acher, the Gemara wanted to know how bad is the violation of Bal Te'acher in the sense that will it also pastel a korban? You have a korban that you are required to bring, and you fail to bring it within the year or within whatever the interval of Bal Te'acher is, and the question is, does that then pastel the korban or not? And we were told last week that it does not pasul the korban. And it came from one drasha last week, and then it came from another drasha last week, and so the thinking was that that it doesn't pasul based on this pasuk of, what does it say here? What was the drasha from last week? Where it says Meiser, the Hekesh to Meiser, right? Meiser Einu Nifsel Mishana Lechaverta Af Bechor Einu Nifsel Mishana Lechaverta. So the Gemara says that any kinds of korban, whether the korban is the Bechor, which is not a Bar Hartza, there's no Ritzui for the korban of Bechor or any other korban. There's no Bal Te'acher Psul. It's only a violation of an Iser. You're delinquent, but it doesn't pasul. On the bottom of the page, Igmar says, V'yakati, the last word of Hayam at Beis, V'yakati midiben azay nafka, but I still don't get it. The Igmar says that din of the kashrus of a korban, even though there's a violation of Bal Te'acher, that we knew from other sources. We know that from Ben Azay Desanya, the Ben Azay that we're going to quote here, this Braisa, Vav Omer Alf, top line. Desanya says in a Braisa, Ben Azay Omer, oh so, ma Talmud Lomer. The pasuk here is the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra talking about the psul of pigul. Pigul is when you bring a korban with a machshava of eating the korban outside of the limits of the permission to eat the korban, chutz me zmano, and an allied psul of chutz me mekomo. And then when a person brings a korban with that's pigol, pasuk says lo ye ratzilo. That doesn't count. The korban won't count if such a korban is brought. That's a psul. Lo ye ratzah doesn't have. It's not going to count. But the pasuk says lo ye ratzah. It says hamakriv oso lo ye chashiv lo pigol ye. It says oso matam milomer. What's the extra word oso? This is Ben Azai's. This is Ben Azai making this analysis in the Braisa. Oso matal midlomer lefishan emar lo se yacher l'shalmo, because the pasuk says Lo si acher, shomea ani, I would have understood that to mean, af mi acher nidro b'bal yeiratzeh, that even somebody who's delinquent, even somebody who brings the korban late, would not just be in violation, but it also, b'bal yeiratzeh, it would also be a psul. So Talmud Lomar, oso b'lo yeiratzeh, ve'ein mi acher nidro b'lo yeiratzeh. Pasuk says, a pigol, that it's a kind of a restriction or a limitation on the psul, that it doesn't apply to the other violation. In other words, pigul, it's an iser to do pigul, to may bring a korban with pigul. So you might think that any other kind of an hakravas a korban be iser would also automatically be a psul. So we're being told here it's not true. That oso b'lo yeiratzeh, ein me'acher nidro b'lo yeiratzeh. So wait a second. So if that seems to be a very global drasha for all kinds of korbanos, that there's never going to be a psul. In the previous avod, we spent like the bottom half of the page going through a different pair of drashas to establish exactly the same thing. So there seems to be a redundancy in the drashos. Gemara says that's what it's asking. Ela bechachet velo ela bechachet. What is the lo ye bechachet? Earlier the drasha was becha velo bekorbanacha. So now the Gemara is kind of backing out of that. The Gemara is saying, well, okay, so becha, that was a little bit of a red herring, and that wasn't really the source for the din of the kashrus of a korban that you violate balti acher. That's going to be used for a different drasha. So we're kind of rewriting the last previous amud, and when it says velo ye becha chet, it means velo be ishtecha chet. When it's saying that if a person violates balti acher and is negligent on the korban and doesn't redeem the pledge early enough in time, then we say that person is guilty of the sin below beishtecha. But your wife is blameless about these kinds of things, about these matters. Just because you were guilty, she is not going to share in your blame. Mara says, well, isn't that obvious? No, because salka deitecha mina hol v'yomer Rabbi Yochanan v'itemer Rabbi Elazar. No, because we have this tradition from the Amorayim, Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar, that ain't ishto shel adam meisalim kein bevakshin mimenu mamon ve'ein lo shene'amar im ein lach alishalem lama yikach mishkav chamitach techa. Because we have a tradition that a man's wife dies from the particular maybe crime or condition of that they are demanding the money that you owe and you don't pay them. Pasuk in Mishlei, Emein lecha l'shalem, elama yikach mishkav chamitach techa. It refers to your wife. So why? So the Pasuk in Mishlei implies that there is a connection between your failure to pay what you owe and your wife not being there. So that means, That might imply that if you violate balti acher, which is very similar to this, so then that should also kind of have consequences toward the man's wife. So that's what we're being told. No, lo ye bechachet velo beishtechachet. So that's what that pasuk was. That's what the drasha should have said last time. Anyway, kamash melan. So that's what that drasha is. So now we're good. Everything is closed up. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. New Braisa. We're still on the overall issue of Balti Acher. So now we're just going to keep saying some additional aspects of Balti Acher. Tana Rabbanan is a Braisa. Based on the Pasuk Motzas Vasecha, so this is the same Pasuk of Balti Acher. Motzas Vasecha, Zo Mitzvah Sasei. So now we're being told here that when a person makes the pledge to bring a korban, or as an obligation to bring a korban, and he honors and he does his responsibility, so then that counts as a kiyum asay. It's a mitzvah asay. Tishmor, zo mitzvah lo asay. Tishmor, usually shmira has the connotation of a lo asay. Like the Gemara says that if the pasuk says he shamer or pen or al, all of those things are equivalent to lo asay formulations. Like we sometimes talk about how Shomor Shmiras Shabbos, a Shomer Shabbos means person who is careful about the Malachos of Shabbos, rather than the Mitzvah Saseis of Shabbos generally. Tosas has a whole problem with this. Tosas say, but very often Shmira does not have that, especially in a context which would seem to be our context. But Tosas tries to explain why the Gemara is saying a statement that's valid anyway. So tishmor is a mitzvah. Lo sases, in other words, the obligation to bring a korban to, that you pledged, or an obligation that you have, is a mitzvah sasei, and it's a mitzvah lo sasei to fail to do it. Now it says the third word of the pasuk is v'yasisa. V'yasisa. What does v'yasisa mean? It means you have to do it. You have to do it. But no, the Gemara takes that to not mean you have to do it. Azhar lebezin sheya'asucha. That's actually giving instructions to the Beis Din that they have to compel you. This word le'asos has a kind of a hifiel connotation. It means to make somebody do something. Is le'asos isui means to compel. So when it says here motzas vasecha tishmor v'yasisa, it means all of the obligations that go into your commitments are, first of all, you have to do it. Mitzvah saseh is a mitzvah lo tase, to neglect to do it, and also the Beis Din, meaning the organization that's in charge of monitoring the community affairs, are required to be on top of this and to compel you to honor your pledge.
Is this brisa referring to any time frame? Because I believe it was Dalad that we said that I, after one chag, one would be over a mitzvah say, but only after three regalim that he would be over low saseh. But this seems like this brisa is a stira on that brisa, because
yeah, why?
It seems that it would be the same time. That one would be over the same as man, low saseh and a mitzvah asay at the same time.
Well, here are you saying? In other words, over here we're being told that the low saseh and the asay are both woven into the same.
Correct.
Same standards, same policies, but you learned earlier that we're going to learn this also later inside, that the lotase of Bal Tiacher is a year-long three regel time frame, and it is a mitzvah sase to the first opportunity mitzvah sase. So this thing may or may not necessarily be saying the same as that, because it doesn't attach a time frame to it. So it may be that there's a mitzvah saseh under certain conditions, under in a certain time frame. And lo taseh is another, and it doesn't give you the parameters here. Uh-huh. But it may be, as you say, it may reflect a different shita. Any case, so Beis Din is supposed to be on top of this and monitor and compel the compliance. Okay, this is all that Bryce is giving you the instructions based on this pasuk, motzas vasecha tishmor v'yasisa. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem elokecha nedava. So kasher nadarta, that gives you what it applies to. Zeh neder, as it says, nadarta, like a neder. The next words are l'Hashem elokecha. You pledge this to God. L'Hashem elokecha. Elu chataos v'yashamos olosu shlamim. Okay, korbanos. And nedava, and the next word of the pasuk is nadarta l'Hashem elokecha nedava. What does nedava refer to? Kemashma'o, like a nedava. And we're going to see in a second, and we might even have already seen before, what the technical implications of a nedava are rather than a neder. And then the pasuk continues, Asher dibarta beficha. So what does Asher dibarta mean? Elu kachi berakabayis. Other kinds of pledges to hekdesh which don't go for korbanos at all. And beficha, zo tzedakah. And beficha broadens this away from hekdesh altogether into referring even as far as pledges to tzedakah, which is very clearly very relevant to us, the most relevant to us, the thing that's relevant all the time to us, which is pledges that we make are subject to all of these lavin and assays with compulsion and everything. All of this is all woven into the restrictions of and the dictates of the pasuk, motzas vasecha, beficha zo tzedakah. So we're going to see a little bit more about this coming up. Amar Mar, that was the end of this braisa. Let's start analyzing the braisa. Amar Mar, Moses vasecha zo mitzvah saseh. The problem is, the Gemara says, I don't understand. That's also a redundant drasha, because lamali, I don't need that drasha, because there's another pasuk in the beginning of Devarim, v'haveisa shama olosei chem esivcheichem es masroseichem. It says that you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, you build a base of Mikdash, and that's the place that you're going to bring your kabbanis. And the implication of the pasuk is that you have to bring the korbanos when you go there. Bring your korbanos there. So that's already a mitzvah saseh. Gemara says, "Me uvasa shama v'abesim shama nafka." And then the Gemara continues, it piles on a bunch of additional questions of redundancy. Tishmor zo mitzvah lo ta'aseh. Lama li? Me lo yacher l'shalmo nafka. That's exactly, I don't need this shmor lo ta'aseh. I have lo se'acher explicitly. And the Gemara says, v'yasisa azhar l'bezin she'asucha. Lama li? I don't understand why I need to be told also that the bezin can compel the, you're honoring your pledge. Me yakrivo so nafka desanya. There's another drasha. And it quotes the Braisa that has the other drasha. The Sani says in the Braisa, Yakrivoso melamech ekofenoso. Pasuk says, Yakrivoso liritzono. Yakrivoso liritzono implies that you have to bring the korban. But no, the Gemara is a drasha that it means they can compel you to bring the korbanos that you're required to bring. Shekofenoso. The problem is the next word of the pasuk is lirtzono. Yachol bal karcho. You have the impression that if they can compel you, that it doesn't matter how much you resist. But it can't be, because the pasuk says the next word is talmud lama lirtzono. It means it has to be you have to be willing. You have to be, I don't know, happy about it. Okay, tzad. So how do you comply? How do you honor both of these instructions? Kofin oso atche yomar rotza ani. It's this kind of paradoxical concept of compulsion to the point of willingness. Okay, that's what the way it goes. We accept this, we apply this in several other areas of halacha also. Wherever your voluntary performance is required, we sometimes will even include compulsion that brings you to the point of voluntariness. So it's a little bit of a paradoxical concept. We do have to use it once in a while. So this is relevant here for korbanos. It wouldn't apply to tzedakah. Tzedakah does not have to be ad sheyoma rotza ani, but at least korbanos, it does have that restriction. Anyway, here's the Gemara has this kasha that the braisa that we just read has a number of drashos that tell me halachos that I already knew from other places, and therefore they are redundant. The Gemara says no, and there are two different circumstances that require their own drasha. The Gemara answers, Chad the Amar v'lo Afrish, the Chad Afrish v'lo Akriv. There are two different instances where a person might be delinquent about following through with their commitments. Namely, what? So it could be that Chad is the Amar v'lo Afrish. Person took the pledge, but never got around to actually assigning the behemah to the pledge. Person said, okay, I intend to bring a korban, and they never actually get around to assigning the korban. The chad, and therefore, under those conditions, you have all of these drashos that describe what kinds of crimes and violations the person is involved in by failing to follow through. And the Gemara says, but what if the person also already did? They took a pledge, and then right away they mafresh the behemah or the money or the whatever for the purpose of to honor the pledge. So that's it. So then you might have easily understood that to mean, okay, well, now they've gotten out of all of the Baal Te'acher violations because they did follow through. But they didn't fully follow through. There's still the other step, but they didn't deliver. So delivery is another aspect of the commitment, and therefore we have another set of drashos to put such a person in violation of these mitzvos as well. Utsricha. And it's not as if if knowing one would obviously imply the other as well. Because if you had only been told that your verbal pledge has to be honored by you taking the next step and designating, and if you fail to do that, then you're guilty of Baal Te'acher, that's Mishim Delo Kaimi Ledibure. That might be because the crime that you did was you spoke and didn't honor your verbal pledge. Aval afresh velo akriv. But if you're at the stage where you've already designated the animal for the korban or the merchandise for the pledge, velo akriv, but you just didn't deliver, Ema, I might say, kol ha'icha de'isa be'gazad rachmana isa. Anything that's going to hekdesh, the Gemara has this concept over here that theoretically, it's like the concept of like eminent domain, that Hekdesh owns the whole world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu owns the whole world, pledging it something to Hekdesh, it's like, even if I don't deliver, it's there already, Hekdesh already has it in a certain sense. And so maybe I shouldn't be guilty of any violations. So that's what we might think, but that's why Tzricha. But that's why they need the other drasha to tell me, no, you'd also be guilty. V'yashmoin and afresh v'lo akriv. Maybe that's different. D'kamashi le'gabe aval amr v'lo afresh ema dibur alav klumu. Tzricha. The second one, I don't exactly know that, how to understand exactly the logic here, but it says, well, maybe if I had only been told that if I keep the behema with me or the objects with me and I don't deliver, sure, I'll be guilty under those conditions. But if all I do is take a verbal pledge and I just don't follow through, then maybe I shouldn't be guilty of any of these. See, okay, I can't really be persuasive about why that logic is that strong. But in any case, the Gemara says that that is, that those would all be false hava aminas, because in either of these circumstances, you are fully guilty of these, of all of these averos for delinquency. Okay, that's why, tzricha. Now the Gemara has a whole problem. It says, I don't understand. Mimatzis amrit the amar velo afrish. How can you say that all of these individual cases can have two different forms of violation? The form of the pledge versus the assigning the animal to redeem the pledge, and the second case of, I have the animal assigned, I just didn't deliver. But there are a couple of, the Gemara says, what about the nedava case? Mimatzis amrit the amar velo afrish. Can there be such a situation of, I pledged, but I didn't assign? The Hanidava Kasiva, one of the examples here that's individually identified in the Psukim is Nidava. And what does a Nidava mean? A Nidava is a pledge, but a Neder is also a pledge. So what's the difference between a Neder and a Nidava? The Gemara over here says, Utanan, Ezehu Neder. It's explaining in the Mishnah what the difference between a Neder and a Nidava is. Ezehu Neder. A Neder is the kind of a pledge where ha'omer ha'rei alayola. I pledge I'll do something. I pledge I'll bring a korban. So I accept upon myself the pledge to bring a korban. It's open-ended in the sense that I haven't identified any behemoth. I might not even own any behemoths at that point. But the point is that I accept the pledge to get a behemoth and to offer it as a korban. That's called a neder. Ve'ezahu nedava. Ha'omer ha'rei zu ola. A nedava, I don't actually take any pledges. I just makdish a behema for as an ola. So that's, I don't have to pledge anything. I don't really have any obligation that I have to now honor. I just assign the behema as an ola. That's called a nedava. And the Gemara says, and what's the difference? Ma be neder le nedava. Well, a neder, you know, let's say I took a harei alai, and now I assign a behema as my korban. So now I have a behema, and it's already, it's my pledge. So is there any difference between the behema that's hektish that I pledged as a neder, and this is it, versus a nedava, and this is it? The Gemara says, yeah, they're very different things. If you, uma bein neder le nedava, neder meis anignav chayv biachriuso. If I took a neder, and I assigned this behema to fulfill my neder, and then this behema disappears, or dies, or becomes, well, it's something I can't use it as the korban, Chayav yachriyuso. I still have to get another one then to redeem my pledge. I'm not off the hook. But a nedava, if all I did was I signed this behema as a nedava, so if this behema becomes pasul or something, then too bad for Ekdish. I mean, it's not like I have an overarching obligation that I'm going to still have to honor or redeem because I didn't pledge anything personally upon myself. So the Gemara says that a nedava, that I wouldn't have anything else. There is no case of amar velo afrish in a nedava case, in which case the Gemara is challenging. That can't be the correct answer to this, to the double drasha, because in the nedava case, it can't support two different scenarios. Gemara says, you know, chav yachri yusuf for a nedava. Amar Rava gives the answer. He says, no, it's not entirely true. What if mishkachas la? I could come up with a case. Could go into Amar Harei Alai Ola Almanas She'eni Chayv Yachriusa. All right, Rava says that I could accept upon myself a pledge of a neder with the provision that I don't want to be Chayv Yachriusa in case when I assign the behema to my pledge, it disappears or it dies or becomes pasul. So I don't have achrayus responsibility for the behema. So it has, in some ways, a nedava status, even while it's a neder kind of structurally. I took the form of a neder in the sense that I took a harei alai, but functionally it's a nedava. So Rava says, okay, so that's why, and if I did such a thing, then both of these scenarios, I could potentially be guilty of the balti acher if I let too much time pass before I assign the behema, or if I let too much time pass before I actually bring the behema as a korban. Okay, then the Gemara challenges another aspect of the Braisa. Beficha zo tzedakah. It's not a challenge. The Gemara commenting on this Braisa.
I don't understand what you just said, because if he is not mafrish, if he's not designating something specific, how could any of those other things happen to it? How could it get stolen? How could it become a puzzle? How could those things happen?
Well, they can't happen at that stage. Let's say I said a harei alai. So now, at least for purposes of understanding what the Torah's obligations are about balti acher and motzos vasecha, understood. If I don't take action now and get a behema and assign the behema to redeem my pledge, I'll be guilty of balti acher. But if the animal dies, whatever, that's only once I've assigned the behemoth to my pledge. So I went to the behemoth store and I bought a behemoth tamima as a korban. At that point, any of those things might happen to it. And depending on what the terms of my pledge were, I'll either have to replace it if anything happens to it, or I won't have to replace it depending on what I said. But in either case, I'll still be subject to balti acher if I don't bring the korban within the time frame.
How did this answer the original question? The original question.
The redundancy question?
No, the question said you can't have a situation where you said it but you weren't mafresh.
The Gemara says that we're saying this, that there is a kind of a nedava that has a semi nedava status and semi neder status. It's a neder in the sense that I took a harei alai, so there's no behema yet. But it's a nedava, functionally, in the sense that I'm not chayv b'achriyuso.
So that's
the intent of the pasuk, but said nedava is still going to have a balti acher in either stage. Either I took a harei alai without achrayus, so if I don't honor that, I'm going to have it as amar velo afrish. And then if I was assigned a behemoth, then I still have to take and it'll have a nedava. Now at that point, it'll have full nedava status because it's not going to have any. Achrayus on it. Mar says, "Beficha zu tzedaka." Amar Rava. Rava, the Amora. Rava is going to have a lot of thoughts here. Rava has had already a number, and will have about these balti acher and yanim. Kevin she'avra lav regel echad over b'yasei. No, I skipped the line. Okay, Rava says this. Beficha zu tzedaka. Amar Rava utzedaka mechayiv alali alter. This is a somewhat scary ruling. It says, pledges to tzedakah, you don't get three. You don't get a year. You don't get three regalim. The balti acher is already an immediate violation anytime the person unnecessarily delays when you have the means, the opportunity to pay, and you don't pay. That's balti acher right away. That's what it says here. The shear of the time frame of balti acher tzedakah is li'alter. Mar says, my taima, the hakaimiya niyim. My taima, because the niyim are there. They need their tzedakah. And so if you just don't give it to them, so then that's balti acher. The Gemara says, well, that's pshita. It's so obvious to the Gemara that should be the case. It's pshita.
We never do credit cards.
All right. The Gemara says, mahu desema. No, it's not so pshita. After all, we are talking about a balti acher whose standard is three regalim. Kevin did beinyana de karbanas ksiva ad the avri ala gimla regalim ke karbanas. So kamash malan that it's not true. Hasamhu de talina rachmana be regalim. No, I would have thought that you maybe have three regalim for tzedakah too, because it's within the same psukim. It's in the same pasuk as karban, as the delaying for karbanas, which is where we're told is three regalim. So Kamash Malan, that's not relevant here, because that was only relevant for Beis HaMikdash matters. Because normally, the Torah is not expecting you to run right away to Beis HaMikdash to redeem a pledge. You're not there. So when are you going to be there? Well, you have an obligation to be there for each of the Shalosh Regalim. So it says here, Kiven de Talin Rabbi Rachmana Beregalim, we understand the Korbanos, you have... The regalim are your opportunities to honor your pledge. So yes, so that's going to be this, the time frame. The standard is going to be the regalim. V'hachalo, the hashchichi aniyim, because aniyim are there all the time. So anytime you... So in other words, the three regalim is not relevant for local tzedakah matters. The poskim discuss the shul pledges, obviously, it's relevant here, is because the shul is always there. The shul doesn't always need your money at any moment. They always need money, but it's not as if your money is necessarily going to matter in terms of operations. So the poskim have a whole... there's an issue. What?
This is Pesach, it's not Baruch.
Okay, so even in Passaic, the need is there, and the need is, it's a perennial and perpetual need, but not that your money is necessarily going to affect in the way that an ani who doesn't have your money may not actually be able to go and use your money. I mean, they need all of the money that they get at all times. Anyway, it's a whole question. But it's very clear, incidentally, that it's not about Shtri Regalim. You don't have the permission to wait for a whole year before honoring your pledge, and it needs to be done first opportunity. That's for sure. Now, Amar Rava. Rava says, and speaking of first opportunity, the three regalim thing, since we said it's about going to Beis HaMikdash, three regalim is, it's like what we said before, three regalim is only for the Losa Aseh, Yavalti Achir, Kiven Shavar Olav Regel Echad, Aver B'Yaseh. One, each regal you have to be there. And that means each regal you have the opportunity. And once that's the case, so then your mitzvah's asay is upon you for the first opportunity, the first regal, the first time you go to Beis HaMikdash. And if you don't honor your pledge that first time, you're not going to be guilty of Baal Tiyacher, but you are going to have been mevatel a mitzvah's asay. The Gemara says, hold on a second, meisavei. Wait a second. That can't be. Now remember, Rava is an Amora who's saying this. Rava himself never had a Beis HaMikdash to go through or anything. He's just saying that in theory, when they used to have Beis HaMikdash, this would have been would have been required, and that the mitzvah saseh would have been violated even in the first regal. But meisavei. But they had a kasha from a brisa. Heyid Rabbi Yehoshua Rabbi Papayas al vlad shlamim sheyikrav shlamim. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Pius, these Tanoim are saying that if you have the child, the offspring of a Korban Shlamim, what do you do with it? You bring it as a Korban Shlamim. Amar Rav Papais, Ani Meyid Shahaisalanu Parashel Zivche Shlamim, Ve'achalnuha Ve'Pesach, Ve'achalnu V'lada Shlamim B'chag. So Rav Papais says, you know, I can testify that there was a time, and he was living based on Mikdash times, that we had a para of shlamim, and it had a vlad. And we ate this korban, this para of the shlamim on Pesach, but we didn't eat the vlad of the korban shlamim until Chag. Chag is, what is Chag? We're all very confident that Chag is Sukkos, because that conventionally, that's what Chag should mean. It's Sukkos. So if that's true, then you see the problem. The problem is that they, that if they had this Vlada Korban on Pesach,
it would have lasted
then
Sukkos.
It's not that it wouldn't have lasted, it's that they would have been obligated to eat it on Pesach, or at least, by Shavuos. So maybe, okay, Shavuos, but how did they have permission to wait until Sukkos? And it wasn't as if he was saying that we did this and we violated the Aveira. He was saying that this was legit. The Gemara says, "Bishlama Pesach lo akravuha." I understand maybe why they didn't eat this on the Pesach itself that they offered the mother para. Amor de mechus rizman hav. Maybe it was just born right before Pesach and it was too young. And that's very reasonable. My understanding is that is actually the time that cows give birth is around Pesach time. So this is. So yeah, I understand that. So I'm not going to object to the statement of the Braisa. Why didn't they eat it that same Pesach? Okay, but at least it doesn't explain Shavua Sela Velada Biatzera Seichi Mashi La Viavriya La Biasei. How in the world did they wait? Did they not give this korban on Shavuos? They would be violated the essay. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava Rav Zvid the Amora says in the name of Rava Kigon. Well, we could give an answer. Kigon shahaya chola b'yatzeres. Okay, there was some reason why they couldn't bring it on atzeres. It was a chola. The vlad, Rashi says, was a chola b'yatzeres. So they couldn't bring it. Tosa says the pasuli hakrava. Okay, so they couldn't bring it. Ravashi Omar, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. So this was Rava gave the first answer. Chola, Rav Ashi had a different second answer. He says, "Mai ve'achalnu v'lada shalami b'chag, dekatani chag shavuos." That is what they did. And the word chag in this brisa meant shavuos. Ve'idach and Rava. What does Rava respond to? What would Rava respond to that suggestion? He says, "What are you talking about? Kolecha detani bePesach tani atzeres. If you ever want to refer to Shavuos, again, it's a connection with Pesach. It's always going to be atzeres, right. Which is an interesting formulation. He doesn't say it always says atzeres when it means Shavuos. Hmm. It wasn't. He was okay with Chag being Shavuos, but not when it says Pesach and Chag. Pesach and Chag would have to mean Sukkos. Pesach and atzeres would have meant. There's something interesting about how. Why should atzeres be the name or the nickname of Chag Shavuos? It may have to do, the Ramban makes a point about that, because the Atzeres of Pesach, Atzeres like Shmini Atzeres of Sukkot. Okay. In a Kesama Rava.
There's a Pesach too,
no? Not for sure. Oh, Atzeres Lashon. Yeah, it's true. Pesach does say that Shavuos is an Atzeres. Right. It's true. Seventh day of Pesach is also an Atzeres.
Just according to the first Mandam here, that If it's a mum, it's invalidated forever, no? Or is that not?
No, this was chola. It wasn't even a mum, and it wasn't even a mum over. I don't know why it didn't say mum over either, but it doesn't say a mum over. But it says chola. Same kind of a concept. Temporary reason why they couldn't bring it.
Yeah, it had a cold.
And it was a legitimate reason.
Had a cold.
Yeah, had a cold. Okay. I don't think it says that Sarah's Beshev was actually in the Pasuk. I think the Pasuk only says Pesach and Shavuos, the word Atzeres. I don't think it says Shavuos Atzeres. The Chazal were the ones who said that. Okay, Rava. Rava, the Amar Kevin, Shavar Lav Gimel Regalim Bechol Yom Ve'Yom over. Now he has a new point about Bal Tiachir. It says, let's say you violated the Bal Tiachir. It's been a year. Now do you have any incentive to rush along? Now it's like too late. There's no point to bring it now at this point. Or if I'm going to bring it, there's no point to rush. It says, no, it's worse. Now Rava says, Kevin, it says, once you violated the Bal Tiachir and it's been three regalim, bechol yom v'yom over bebal tiachir. Every day that you delay, that's Bal Tiachir. Meisevei, they had a kash against him. How can that be? There's a tosefta here in Erechei, and echad bechor v'yechad kol ha-kachim, kevin she'avro aleihem shana below regalim, or regalim below shana, over Bal Tiachir. This braisa says, whether it's a bechor or any other korban, funny way to say this, if it means every korban, why specifically single out Bechor? Tosis thinks that this is because Bechor is the source of the din of Gimel Regalim for Bal Tiachir. But it says here, of Shana, of a year for Bal Tiachir. So the Braisa says that whether it's any korban, Kevin She'avru Aleihem Shana, once the year goes by, you violate Bal Tiachir, whether it was three regalim or a full year, there you go. So you see, how could Rav have said what he said? When he says, what does that mean? V'hai mai, tiyufte. What does that attack him? How does that challenge to Rav's statement? I'm a Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, yeah, it does. Man kad de kamosu shaber kamosu. It actually is akasha. Why? Because mechli, tana alavi ka mahadir. This tana is trying to give you situations, different, various situations where you violate Baal Tiachir. Not just the basic, you know, three regalim. Other versions of Bal Tiachir. So why didn't it include this? The daily violation of Bal Tiachir after having violated the time frame. Listni b'chol yom v'yom over b'Bal Tiachir. Okay, so that's why he thinks this is an attack against Rava v'idach. But Rava is not so bothered by this because Tana l'mikavi b'lav kamahader. B'lav yaseir l'kamahader. No, because he thinks that the Braisa, yes, the Braisa is giving you other instances of Bal Tiachir, but it's giving you other minimum instances of Bal Tiachir, where I first violate Bal Tiachir, not where I most violate Bal Tiachir. So that's why he doesn't think that this Braisa was really an attack against Rav's claim about violating Bal Tiachir b'chol yom. Okay. Gufa, the Gemara says, introduces a statement that we said earlier, or a Braisa that we said earlier, a Mishnah that we said earlier, we want to explore more and more fully. That was the one that we just had four lines ago. Echad bechor v'echad kol ha-kadshim, kevan she'avro aleihem shana below regalim, or regalim below shana over Bal Tiachir. This is new, because we were used to thinking that Bal Tiachir is three regalim. Three regalim It's like three strikes, and you're out. Three regalim, you had three times again based on Migdash, if you didn't bring it within those three. But now being told that it's not only three regalim. If a full year goes by, you're also out. That's also Balti Acher. How does that happen? How can you reach a year from the time of the initial either pledge or the opportunity, but it not have passed three regalim?
Maybe it's Nisan and Tishrei. It depends what we said in the beginning.
It's a full year's gone by. How did you get a full year to elapse without passing a Pesach Shavuot Sukkos?
It's impossible.
How can it have happened?
Leap year.
Okay. Blessed Gwern says, wait, let me,
but a leap year,
you know what?
Leap year.
Not good. Tell me how leap year solves the problem.
Yeah. Sounds cute.
Let's say it was, I don't know, Zayin Cheshvan was the pledge. No matter what's a leap year, by next Zayin Cheshvan, it still had to be three regalim. It doesn't matter how many months. So whatever date you give, it's still going to have been three regalim before the date hits again next year.
Why are we saying a year is 12 months?
Yeah, even if it's
so the Gemara says, Bishlama, regalim, beloshana, mishkachasla. Okay, that half is easy. How do you get three regalim within a year? Of course. Ela shana, below regalim, heichi mishkachasla. How do you have such a case of a year elapsed, even though you didn't get three regalim? Hanich, alabandi, yisla, kisidran. You didn't even tell me. Earlier, remember, there were different opinions. Then according to the opinion that it has to be, like our Mishnah, it has to be Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, in that order. So then that could take
that
more than a year. Because if, let's say, Mishkachasla, we understand how you did that. You took the pledge after Pesach one time, and then you get until a year, you didn't have the full cycle of Pesach, and then Shavuot, and then Sukkos. Yeah. Why?
This whole concept of Kesidra doesn't even come into the question if you're saying you don't need Regal. You just need 1 year.
Yeah. Well, it's year or three regalim, whichever comes first. So the Kesidron one would say, if I took my pledge before Pesach, then the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, that happens in 6 months, and I'm already three regalim, and I've already been guilty, and that's within a year. So that even it's but relevant take, even within this.
If you take in your pledge in ER, then you have well over a year.
Right, so the Gemara says, okay, understood. If you hold Kesidron, Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos Kesidron, like the Nistah Mishnah is saying, then I understood. Ela lemanda less like Kesidron eichi mishkachasla. Bishlama le Rebbe. Okay, now this is what you were saying before. Bishlama le Rebbe mishkachasla b'shana meuberes. So this can work out for Rebbe's shita if it's a leap year. Why only Rebbe's shita? The Sanya, because there's a brisa that says the following. The pasuk talks about the redemption of the buyback of a house that you were forced to sell in an ir choma. The Chumash says that if I sell my home located in an Ir Choma, I have a year to buy it back. I have a year. So Rebbe says, Rebbe Omer, Mona Gimel Mayos Shisha Mechamisha Yom, Kaminyan Mosachama. A year means 365 days. That is a year. And your Hebrew dates don't matter. And so you could potentially have the year elapse while the date is not yet the date of when the year began, right? Because the date and a leap year is going to be 380 whatever days. So if what Rebbe said about Ir Choma is relevant also for Balti Acher, that's the assumption here, that the claim is that, and so therefore Rebbe might also hold that way about Balti Acher, then we understand the Mishkachasla, that it's a leap year, and we're not counting a year date to date like birthdays. We're going to use the date as 365 days. So you can also get a hechatimtza of a year elapsing before three regalim elapse. The Chachamim amrim, mona yid beis chodesh miyom liyom. No, Chachamim deny Rebbe Yishita. They say that's not true. A year is always, for all purposes, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, and yard sites, it's all about the date. It's not about intervals of time. They have Nisabra Hashana, Nisabra Lo. So then we're still stuck. Then the Gemara says, so we understand. Mishkachas lo Rebbe, via katsha basra chaga matzos, the chimata shili adar, basra, shana malya, a regalim lo malu. Okay, so it just speaks through how, according to Rebbe, the 365 days will define a year. It's possible to have 365 days elapsed. There'll be a year, but not yet. Three regalim. Ela le rabbanan eif mishkachas lo. So that's the question, is what is this, what? So we don't have to answer the question, because we are talking about a braisa which could have been any of these tanaim, which would have made it work. But is it possible for this braisa to be acceptable, to be even authored by somebody who doesn't hold like either of those shitos? And it says, yes, k'detani Rav Shemaya. Like Rav Shemaya, the Amora quotes a braisa, atzeres, pi'amim hei, pi'amim vav, pi'amim zayin. What's the date of Shavuos? So we are all familiar with Shavuos. It's day 50 of the Omer, which is always Vav Sivan. Well, we're working with a calendar that has some rules, and there are certain fixed month lengths. And so Shavuos is always Vav Sivan. But in the time when there were variable month lengths because of Kiddush Al-Pi HaRe'iyah, and they didn't work with a predictable calendar, so then Shavuos will be day 50 of the Omer, which could potentially fall on any of three different dates. It could be that Nisan went for a full 30 days, like it does, and Iyar 29 days, like in our calendar it does, in which case then Shavuos would be Vav. That would be the same as us. But what if Iyar had to be an extra day? It was a full day 30. Hey. So then by the time you hit day 50 of the Omer, it's only going to be Hey Iyar. Or what if Nisan was a Chodesh Chaser, 29, Iyar is a 29er, in which case then, so that's what we have, so that would be two short month lengths, in which case by the time you hit day 50, you're at Zion Sivan already. So that's why Shavuos could be Hey, Vav, or Zion. If that's the case, so then what if somebody took a pledge on Motzei Shavuos one year when it was on Hey? And he took a pledge, and a year later, it might not yet be Shavuos. It might be Erev Shavuos. Okay, well, it's only going to make a one-day difference, but the point is, if you were relying on Shavuos being your opportunity to redeem your pledge, you wouldn't be allowed to. So that would be relevant for people in that time. Atzeres p'am hei p'am v'am z'ayin ha'ketzat shneihem eleihem chamisha. Shneihem chaserim shiva. And echad mali v'echad chaser shisha. Okay, but incidentally, the Gemara goes on to say, u'man tana d'polig alei d'Rav Shemaya. Is there any Tana out there that argues with this possibility? It doesn't seem like anybody could argue with this possibility. It's such an obvious possibility on the assumption that you're actually genuinely be Mekadesh Chadashim Al-Pi HaRe'iyah. How could you challenge that possible outcome, the three possible outcomes? Gemara says, no, it could be Acherim Hi. Acherim, there's a Tana, the Acherim Tana might argue with this. Desanya, there is a Braisa. At Tosefta and Erechin, it says Achirim Omrim Ein Bein Atzeres Li Atzeres Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah Le Rosh Hashanah El Dalit Yamim Bilvad Vim Hayis Hashanah Miberes Chamisha. This Tana holds that the year is always fixed. You're always getting 6 months of 30, 6 months of 29. Which months they are predictable. It alternates. You always need to have that arrangement. That's always going to make a year of 354 days exactly. Leap years are going to have to be thrown in every 3 years like we do, and that'll bring the year to 83 exactly. It's always going to be that arrangement. You can always predict, if I know this year's arrangement, I know what next year's arrangement is going to be because it's invariant. And therefore, if that's the way it is, incidentally, it also means, it seems to be very clear, we are going to have Rosh Hashanah whenever it falls. We're not going to artificially push Rosh Hashanah off of like we do these days. Our calendar is designed in such a way as to push Rosh Hashanah away from 3 days of the week. It will never fall on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday. You're never going to get Rosh Hashanah those days. Well, the other Moedim are going to, in consequence, be blocked out of 3 days as well because of the rigidity of the calendar. And so, but that seems to not have been a consideration for Acherim. So in any case, the point is that according to that Shita, that it's fixed, then you won't have a floating Shavuos. Shavuos is always going to be fixed, just like it is now in our calendar. It was even at that time. Okay, I don't really know. Okay, that's what this Acherim is. So then if that's the case, then you wouldn't be able to get away with the Motzei Shavuos case of the Braisa. Boyrem Zera, Yoresh. What's the din of a yoresh? Mahu bebalti acher. What's the case? Let's say a person takes a pledge and then dies. So does the yoresh have to redeem the pledge? So presumably the yoresh may not have to redeem the pledge, but what if he's makdish the korban, and now you have a behemoth hektish sitting there in the estate, the Yoresh is inheriting the estate, and it includes a behemoth hektesh. So the only thing you can do is bring this as a korban. Well, if he's delinquent, does that put the Yoresh in violation of Balti Acher? Gemara says, Kisi dor neder amarachmana v'halo nadar. After all, maybe this whole pasuk about the Acher begins with when you pledge. Kisi dor neder, if the person pledges. O dilma basa shama v'avesim shama v'hamichayiv. So, maybe we use the different standard of you have to go to Beis HaMikdash, so you have to bring your korbanos. So maybe then you would be just as obligated. Where it says, Tashma detani Reb Chiya me'imach prat liyoresh. Okay, we have a brisa. Reb Chiya quotes a brisa, says the pasuk me'imach, that's in the pasuk of Balti Acher, prat liyoresh, that he's not going to be guilty of Balti Acher for his delinquency. The Gemara says, wait a minute, but that can't be. We use that word me'imach for something else. And that was, if you flip back two pages back, when we talk about the full range of things that are your obligation that you would be guilty of Balti Acher, it even identifies, that's on the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, it includes things like Leket Shechem Pei in the top line of Hey of Dalet Amud Beis. And that comes from me'imach. The Gemara says, wait a minute, we used that pasuk already. You can't tell me that it's to exclude Yoresh from Balti Acher. Gemara says, no, that was imach. Kri be imach, ve kri be me imach. I'm being Dorish from the extra mem. Okay, that's the way drushes work. That imach tells me one thing, me imach tells me a different thing. But they're honoring the usual code of one drusha per drushable item. There's a drushable item, and there's only one halacha you can get from it. You're not getting multiple. So if you have another, you have two things, the me imach, so you can get two separate drushes out of that. Boy, Rabbi Zeira. Isha mahib balti acher. What if a woman has a korban that she either pledged or is makdish or something? Does she have a balti acher violation after the gimel regalim? It's an interesting the supplemental question to the balti acher question, because she doesn't have the same obligations as a man in some ways. And let's take a look. Mi amrinan halo mechayiv abiriya. The pasuk is always assuming you're going to have to be there anyway to bring your shalish regalim korbanos. But does a woman have the obligation to be there? Well, the pasuk says shalosh regalim bashana. It says yireh kol zechurcha. It's Pnei Hashem. Only the zecharim have the obligation to show up in the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos. That's not the women. That's only the men. Halo mechayv bereiya. Oh Dilma, or maybe no, she doesn't have to show up in the mikdash. She has to show up in Yerushalayim though. Because she does have a mitzvah of simcha. And simcha means she has to eat the korbanos. Simcha means, as Rashi just points out over here, the Gemara says, that you have to eat the korbanos, not only in Yerushalayim. So, in a certain sense, she's obligated to be on hand in Yerushalayim, but not to appear in Beis HaMikdash like the men are obligated. So, should that create the same kind of time frame standard of Balti Acher for the woman as for men?
If she doesn't have a Chiyuv and Re'iyah, then she'd be over in Balti Acher right away. Because she can't say, well, I'm going to come on Sukkos anyway.
That's not bad. What? In other words, that's not bad. In other words, it can't be that it's totally open-ended and there's never Balti Acher. Maybe it would be Lealter.
It would be right away. Yeah.
Or maybe that's unreasonable because you can't expect her to do more than what a man would be required to do. He also has an obligation, just that we have a grace period because it's not reasonable to demand immediate compliance. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Maybe it would be reasonable to say she would have an earlier obligation. Maybe. Mara says, Amalei Abaye. So that was what Rizib was asking. Abaye says to him, what are you talking about? But she does have to show up there, so isn't that obvious that she would be obligated and therefore guilty of Balti Acher for that reason? Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hold on a minute. We're challenging. Could Abaye have really said this? But Abaye denies the woman having any obligation of Simcha at all, even to the extent of eating korbanos. It says, Amar Abaye, Isha Bala Misamcha. No, when the Pasuk says, Vesamachta and Ishtecha, it doesn't mean she has to be there. It means the husband has to be sameach the wife, but let's say daughters or whatever, they don't have an obligation of simcha at all. Gemara says, so how could Abaye have given that answer? Gemara says, no, Abaye didn't mean he personally holds this way. He was saying to Rav Zeira, who asked the question, how could you ask this question? You should concede that the obligation of Simcha that you hold, that you subscribe to, should be enough to make it obvious that the woman would be guilty of Balti Acher if she waited a Gimel Regalim. The Dvar of the Rav Yizir, Kamar, Iboi Lahu, but has a new question about Balti Acher. Bechor me'emasai monim lo shana. The Bechor, you're not makdish the Bechor. The Bechor is kaddish mirachem. It's kaddish as soon as it's born. When do you start the clock for purposes of Balti Acher? Me'emasai monim lo shana. Abaye omer mishashen nolad. Abaye says, well, it's clear. When it's born, that's the clock. Clock starts now. You get a year from now. Or Gimel Regalim from now, if it was born during the run. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, no, it's Mishash and Nira Lehartza. No, you can't bring the Bechor now. Pasuk says you have to wait at least a week, 8 days, before you could bring the animal as a korban. You can't start the clock now. You have to wait until it's Roy Lehartza. Then the clock starts a week later. But lo pligi, and the truth is that they're not necessarily arguing because they may be referring to different cases. Habitam and Habibalmum. No, maybe we're talking about if the behema is a Bechor, behema, tahora, tamima, and it's roi lahakrava now, just that you have to wait a week, so then don't start the clock now, because in a week it'll be roi lahakrava. But if it's going to be balmum anyway, it's born now, and it's balmum anyway. So then, you don't have to wait a week. What's a week? A week is a meaningless amount of time for this behema, because what are you going to do with this behema? What do you do with a Bechor that's a Bechor Balmum? You just give it to the Kohen, and he doesn't have to bring it as a Korban at all. It's not a Korban, that's it. So it's not a Korban, so you don't have to wait a week. So wait a second. So what is the clock counting for? What is the clock counting for at this point? It's not a korban at all now. That's what you think, right? It's how much time you have to give it to the Kohen. But that's not the way the Tosas understand. Tosas understand it's not about that. Ein ledakdek mikan that you have balti acher if you don't give it to the Kohen within that time. Because there's something else going on. You also are required, even the Kohen has a balti acher violation. If it says you have to eat the Bechor within that year, even though it's not a korban. It's not exactly chulin, just the point is that it's like a psula hamukdashin. So you have to eat it, there's still another requirement, you have to eat it within the year. So this would even bind the kohen, this shita. So then the Gemara says, okay, that's the point. The point is that a baal mum, you would have to count the year from when it's born, and a behemoth tamima would be from a week later. All right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.